5 gradi.
Bienvenue sur Metal Maniac, un balado d'Horreur Québec où je, sous-signé Christophe G, m'entretiens avec des métalleux tripeux d'horreur.
Septembre, épisode 31. Mesdames et messieurs, chers Metal Maniac, bienvenue à ce nouvel épisode du podcast mettant en vedette nul autre qu'une légende du métal, au niveau global, mondial, un Britannique, Shane Embury. Shane Embury qu'on connaît pour comme étant bassiste du grand Napalm Death, un band actif depuis le début des années 80, lui qui est là depuis presque le tout début. C'est le bassiste hirsute qu'on reconnaît, sa charpente assez massive, mais un type absolument sympathique que j'ai eu la chance de rencontrer. En fait, en parenthèse, il a joué dans beaucoup de bands. Napalm Death, il est hyper actif, donc il y a vraiment beaucoup de projets en parallèle. Je vais en lister quelques-uns. Brewery, donc un band qui a fondé avec deux gars de Fear Factory, avec Juan Brujo aussi de Californie, Bill Gould de Faith No More, donc un band, pour ceux qui ne connaissent pas, c'est un band fictif de contrebandiers mexicains masqués. Donc, pour une question de droit, de contrat avec des différentes étiquettes de disques, ils ne disaient pas leur vrai nom. Donc, ils faisaient semblant qu'ils étaient des contrebandiers mexicains. Ils faisaient du death metal satanique en espagnol. Donc, très cool band. Matando Gueros, c'est leur premier album, un classique. Vous irez voir la pochette, c'est assez brutal. C'est une vraie photo de tête coupée. C'est assez perturbant, merci. Sur l'étiquette Roadrunner, premier album très iconique, il y a eu beaucoup de changements de personnel, il y a eu des gars de Carcass, il y a eu des gars de Cradle of Filth, il y a eu des gars de plein de bandes dans ce groupe-là. Mais Shane Embury, ça a même une valeur sûre, il revient souvent, il fait des tournées avec eux autres quand il a le temps, quand il n'est pas avec Napalm Death ou quand il n'enregistre pas des albums avec Lockup, un band qu'on retrouve Thomas de At the Gates. Il y a aussi Kevin, voyons, j'ai son nom complet ici écrit, Kevin Sharp de Ex Brutal Truth. Il est dans ce groupe-là aussi. Il a fondé aussi le band Venomous Concept avec Kevin également. Tronos, un autre band solo où il y a plein de collaborateurs, dont Snake de Voivod, Dirk de Megadeth et Billy Gould. Encore. Meat Hook, Seed, Blood from the Soul. Il y a tellement eu de projets, c'est hallucinant. Récemment, il a sorti plusieurs albums d'un projet plus industriel, plus solo de son cru, Dark Sky Burial, excusez-moi. Et il est en train de terminer son autobiographie qui devrait sortir cet automne en 2023. On n'a pas la date encore, donc peut-être que c'est sorti au moment de la publication de cet épisode. Donc, c'est un fan de films d'horreur fini. Un de mes amis, Jason, l'ancien bassiste, en fait, du groupe Tub Ring, nous a présenté, moi et Shane, parce qu'on est des fans de films d'horreur. Donc, ça, c'est très cool. J'ai pu m'entretenir avec lui en 2018 au Festival Évée Montréal. Puis, on a vraiment bien connecté. Puis là, on parlait de jouets, on parlait de collection, on est des tripeux aussi de paquets de trucs, de films et de bebelles comme ça. Puis là, il m'a dit, lors d'un de mes voyages au Japon, parce que lui, il est très lié avec le Japon, le groupe s'est produit à maintes reprises. Il a marié une Japonaise qui habite en Angleterre. Ils ont deux enfants. Puis il trippe sur les kaiju, la culture japonaise. Puis il a eu l'opportunité de designer une figurine de la compagnie Gargamel donc à son effigie. Donc, on le voit ici pour la version vidéo. Ils ont remodelé sa tête pour avoir les cheveux frisés et ils ont ajouté le logo ND, en fait, une version réduite du logo, derrière. Donc, figurine très, très rare qui a été produite au début des années 2000, je pense en 2003, à l'époque où ils ont produit ces figurines-là, qui étaient vendues au Japon ou en mail order. Ils vendaient en tournée. Puis, pendant notre première rencontre, il m'a dit « Hey, j'en ai des figurines, si tu veux, je pourrais t'en envoyer une. » Puis quand l'entrevue s'est terminée, il me dit « Est-ce que do you want to keep in touch? Tu veux-tu garder contact? » Je suis bien certain. Il dit, il me donne son téléphone, il me dit « Rentre ton adresse courriel, puis je vais t'écrire, puis là, comme ça, on va pouvoir communiquer ensemble. » Puis là, depuis 2018, qu'on chattait comme ça. La pandémie est arrivée. Donc, évidemment, on n'a pas pu, il n'a pas pu venir au Québec par la suite. Mais quand l'opportunité s'est pointée l'an dernier, en 2022, j'ai dit, hey, en passant, la figurine, je ne sais pas si tu as ça encore. Il dit, ah, il faut que je cherche, il faut que je fouille. Je l'ai relancé, puis il est passé à Montréal en 2022, puis il me l'a apporté. Il m'a donné cette figurine-là. Moi, je capotais. Tu sais, ça a une valeur inestimable à mes yeux parce que c'est designé par lui. Il me l'a donné en cadeau. Fait que je pense que je n'ai pas été très trop tâche quand on s'est rencontrés. Je pense que le courant passait. Donc, je suis vraiment très heureux de pouvoir vous présenter donc une autre conversation avec le grand Shane Embury, tripeux. Évidemment, pour les gens qui ont l'oreille moins exercée, c'est un Britannique qui mâche un petit peu ses mots, mais soyez attentifs, on comprend quand même assez bien ce qu'il dit. Vraiment sympathique, type ultra prolifique, hyperactif, avec une générosité sans borne. Donc, allez écouter la playlist de l'épisode. J'ai inclus un paquet de chansons de tous ces projets ou de la plupart de ces projets, ceux qui étaient disponibles sur Spotify. Ça vaut la peine d'aller voir l'étendue, la diversité de ces compétences musicales. Donc, sans plus tarder, ma conversation avec Shane Embury de Napalm Death et de 1 million de groupes. I'm so happy to have you in my computer, Shane, right now. It's so cool to be able to chat with you again about the best things in life, you know, music and cinema, horror and metal. They go so well together. So I figured a few years ago, and of course we met in 2018, we got to chat about those wonderful things, thanks to our common friend, Jason. But usually when I do that sort of chat with metalheads, I start by asking them what made them want to be, to work in the music industry at first. What made you pick up an instrument in the beginning?
Well, this does get, obviously gets mentioned in the
in your book. Upcoming book, yes, that's coming out this fall, right?
Which I still find it, I'm kind of happy about it, but I also find it funny, you know, to have a book. And I was just a joke about it. But if you go, I'm from the 70s, you know, I was born in late 60s, but I grew up in the early 70s. And my mom was at work, my dad was at work. I was with my grandmother till the age of 5, 6, whatever. And, probably a little bit later, I guess, but babysitting and all that kind of thing. But I guess the thing was, at the time, we had Top of the Pops, it was called. I'm not even sure if it's on now because I don't actually watch regular TV anymore.
And it was a kind of a variety show with like live acts and stuff.
It would be, it would be every, they have probably have the same every country, you know, like the top 40, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is on TV. So you'd watch it, I think, every Thursday. The main theme tune was actually A Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
Even though I wasn't really familiar with Zeppelin, I heard this, dead end, and get some other sounds. I like the sound of that. Sounds
mm-hmm. good. That's pretty course, heavy.
For the time, for me, yeah. It was like, so you would hear that, and you would watch the bands like Slade or The Sweet, and then from the States, the Osmonds, with Crazy Horses. That particular track was the one that I'm like, there's some continuity, if that's the word I'm trying to say, between these guitar sounds. And I thought, well, that's interesting. But I love the drums, And I think naturally as a boy, because my son does the same thing, beats the hell out of whatever he can get his hands on.
And how old is he? He's like 4 now?
Nearly five, nearly five. A few more months, he'd be five. But okay. Yeah, he likes to, my wife always says, why does he like to hit things? I said, what can I say? Probably a boy thing. But I mean, I used to grab my grandmother's buckets and I would line them up and I'd, hit them. So I guess I was drawn to rhythm, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And it went from there. And I used to joke through what we call primary school over here. Oh, I'm going to be in a band. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of it. And of course, somebody decides to call me now. Get better. Let me just give me a second. Let me just turn this off.
No worries. I'm just gonna take a look at your action figures and statues and all. It's so cool to be able to see inside. That's your studio right now? We're in?
This is just the bedroom. This is like the old bedroom. It's kind of my, you know, I'll just pick that up a little bit. I have my Daleks over there.
Nice. So Doctor Who was big for you when you were growing up?
Yeah, I know. But it's a little dark in here, unfortunately, because there's a long story behind this. This is like the Napalm Death House, but well, still is, I guess. But this was Mitch's old room, and before he decided to leave, he kind of decorated it with some dreadful wallpaper. And so I'm kind of in. I'm making my, because I'm too lazy to do the decorate. I've got too much stuff to push out, so I'm trying to strategically cover up every space I can with posters and whatnot. But yeah, so I forgot where I was.
No worries. So you started, you know, banging on stuff, but the base, where did it came into your life?
God, this could even be haunted. This house is very strange noise. I've been watching all, been preparing for the new Insidious movie, so I watched all four the other day.
Okay. Oh, you're like that. Okay, you want to be in the mood prior to watch, you know?
I'd watch the first one or possibly first two, and then you veer off because then I decided, the Blumhouse thing. I was like, right, let's have a look at the list. Oh, I need to watch this. I just got in the mood of it. Which is pretty good, actually, because I'm composing a new Dark Sky Berry album. Mm-hmm. Which I only decided to do about 3 days ago. So, but it's really kind of atmospheric, and so it kind of influenced that. But anyway, so the bass really was, I think, I started playing drums originally. That's where I started, because the band I was in, that we formed it back in the village I come from, everybody wanted to be a guitarist, and in the end, I had four guitarists, so I chose drums. Kind of went from there, which I think was a good thing. And then basically, really, when originally I was going to join Napalm in between the side A and side B of Scum, and that never happened, which is kind of, I don't know, I regret. That's probably one of my biggest regrets, I suppose. But just young, when we were so young, we were just nervous. I came from a small village, so it was like, you know, even stepping out of the village to Birmingham was a big thing for me. And it's weirder now because I have no problem getting on a plane and flying 6,000 miles, but you could never have asked my 18-year-old self to do that. I would have been petrified, you know.
But you knew the guys already.
Yeah, I knew the guys, became really good friends with them, and so eventually did join them on bass because their bass player Jimmy left. They knew I had some songs already because when I was about to join originally, I showed them the songs that eventually appeared on From Enslavement to Obliteration. So, I thought, oh, yeah, well, okay, I'll have a go at bass. That was kind of really, you know, and, you know, back in the day, it's very simple. I say simple, but, you know, you didn't venture past the second string, really, in those days, because it was very fast. And, you know, I'd like to hope and think that over the years I've improved, you know, and so that was that, really. And then, of course, when you start to progress, you start getting into guitar and,
yeah, because you're playing lots of stuff. You're singing with the different projects, Tronos, and of course, your latest project, Dark Sky Burial, which you've been putting out records really at a very heavy pace over the last few years. So it's really inspiring to you to go into those atmospheric tones nowadays.
Well, I think I think early in the early 90s, I wanted to do
industrial.
Well, you say industrial, but I think what it really was is it coming from the metal background and into the punk. But when I discovered bands like Coil and Current 93, especially their early stuff, is very, very bizarre, you know. Mm-hmm. Because in the 70s, I really loved Doctor Who and the Hammer horror movies and just kind of tension. I guess I just kind of, I think when you're very young, especially, that you soak these things up and you're not even aware of it. They just come in. You know, and then, of course, you know, the Radiophonic Workshop, which created the sounds for Doctor Who and stuff like that. And then Forbidden Planet, which I can't remember. They got the two guys' names from Belgium. I think they created these weird electronic instruments.
Okay.
Which, of course, back, you know, so I love these bleeps and blops and weirdness, you know. And I think inevitable, I just got And Coil brought me that way. And then when I found out that Coil were possibly going to be considered to do the original soundtrack for Hellraiser.
Yeah, you told me. It blew my mind because I went to listen to it on the web and it was so creepy. I guess, you know, it would have given the movie a whole different tones.
And I think, you know, and then I heard that, you know, Coil and Clive Barker were friends. Mm-hmm. And then I never did this, but people would always say it's like playing the pink. It's like playing, was it? There was one of the pink Dark Side of the Moon to the Wizard of Oz. I hear.
I heard that.
But then they say, please, you know, try putting the unreleased themes from Hellraiser to the first movie and turn and watch it. I've never done that yet, but you know, the music, I love the music. So all that kind of thing came in, and I kind of got sidetracked with Napalm for 30 odd years.
Yeah.
And then I just was on tour with Brodeur and lots of time at night. I said, well, let me get my iPad out. And I started doing small loops. Then I started researching, you know, and then off I go. You can just create little pieces of music to, I think it's therapeutic for me in a way.
Oh, yeah.
And just now I've been making quite some bizarre stuff in a way, but I just sit there zoning out and I get a kick out of it. I mean, you know, whoever likes it. Most people, I don't know. It just is, for me, very relaxing.
Mm-hmm. But it is, actually. You know, I reviewed the first record for Room Org, and I was really, it's really some sort of hypnotizing mood, and it's really, it sinks really slowly. It's instrumental, and it's really dark. It could be an awesome soundtrack to a scary movie. Have you ever been interested in you know, trying to do that kind of stuff?
Well, I think a lot of people do really want to do that. They gravitate towards it. I think the guy from Radiohead did the Suspiria.
Oh yeah, that's right, the singer.
I believe so.
The remake.
And ultimately, I would love to do that kind of thing. I speak with people. I think it's a very hard, well, I don't know if it's a hard thing to get into. It's a case of, like, I get the impression you're in some bar, some place in LA or somewhere, and you just happen to talk to somebody and it happened, you know, or a fan. And that's usually how things tend to kind of kick into gear, really. And so, but I would like to do that for sure. And watching the Insidious movies this week, and I think Sinister I watched again, and you know, and I hadn't really paid much attention for a while. I always like my horror movies, but I feel there's a big catching up to do, and I've sort of been really sort of checking out what's coming out there. I've been watching the what's it called on Netflix, the series? Midnight Mass. Midnight Mass. I've been watching.
I heard good things about that, but I haven't seen it.
And by the second episode, I was like, this is reminding me of something, and it's panning out that way, but still really good, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do like the fact that, you know, that with limited series or whatever you want to call it, you get more chance to expand the story.
Totally.
Which I think is a lot better, because sometimes movies...
Too short for you?
It must be very frustrating to, you know, because you create something, you have to nail it in like 2 hours. Very hard. And people's attention spans at movies, I think, I could sit there for 3.5 hours, but many people can't, you know. And so to me, Dark Sky Barrel is very... It's become very important to me, really. And I like the fact I've gone insane on sounds over the past 3 years. My wife drove her crazy. She's like, how much have you spent on that? Again, I'm like, never mind. It's tax deductible. Leave me alone.
That's great. Do you have any plan to bring that on the road?
I did one show in London, like a small show. But okay. I think I'd like to do some more stuff. And I keep on building the ideas for Dark Sky or variations of it, I suppose, in some ways. I think it's been... Now my son's going to start, I don't know what you call it, proper school, I guess. So I'm going to be able to sort of really immerse myself, because I really want to learn a little bit more. Well, I'll keep on learning, basically. And I have a few friends who know more than me, and a couple of my good friends, we're going to try and get together and take it more live, well, for whatever better word, you know. So that's something I've been wanting to do. And now my kids, my son's, because I've been with my son pretty much. He has COVID, like everybody, all that kind of thing. Now he's going to be 5 days a week and kind of get that done in during the day. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it gets a little frustrating, you know, because you kind of, when you get in these creative moods, it comes at the weirdest time, I suppose. And but yeah, I mean, I'd like to take it live. And of course, it's a thing about me, I suppose, that I've always never seem to calm down, I guess, really.
You have so many, you're so creative, because you're like an upper active, you know, creator. You're in tons of bands. Just for the people that know you only from Napalm Death, you founded Buheria back in 1989. You've been in Mikhoot Seed and Blood from the Soul, Lock Up as well. You just did a show in Netherlands.
Denmark.
Denmark. Awesome. Yeah. Venomous Concept, which I was lucky enough to catch in Montreal years ago. Tronos, that I mentioned, Dark Side Bureau. And now you're even writing a book. Is that done, or are you still writing it?
The book is got off. The show's calling me again. I bet my wife on me. Oh, it stopped. We're good. It's like no one calls me all day, and then when I'm busy talking to you, so it goes. My wife's on vacation in Japan at the moment, so time zone is crazy. But the book itself is done. The company itself has a pre-order thing that they do, which I think is just finished. And so yeah, that comes out in October. But now we're talking about, there's a few interviews that was happening. And also, I'm meant to be appearing at this Louder Than Words Festival in Manchester.
It's going to be live streamed, I think so, right?
It might well be, yeah, I think so. So that's kind of exciting for me, really, because I like to think I don't talk too much, but I probably do. And, you know, so it's a different area to explore, you know,
to reminisce all those memories connected to all those different projects in the same kind of you know, physical media. It's pretty pretty cool.
I think it's you know, again, we have a sense of humor or whatever. I always used to joke, oh, we're for saving for the book, and then suddenly it became a reality, and then you start talking about stuff, and then you realize, because like, as I say, I come from a very small village, which is about an hour away from here. And then at the time growing up, you're like, well, you want to go to the big city. Mm-hmm. Then I started realizing that, well, you know, it's the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution. And then Charles Darwin was born 16 miles away. And all these little things, you know, then you realize how close you are to Black Sabbath and Zeppelin and Priest. And then you suddenly, after 35 years, you go, oh, well, I guess I'm in Napalm Death. And there's reasons for all these things connecting, you know. Uh-huh. And then of course later in life you start doing the strange music and or whatever, and you realize, well, it's all part of how you grew up and how it influenced you and then where you're going in life. And so
I really can't wait to read it all, because I'm sure you have tons of story, because you met tons of people, and I'm sure it's going to be inspiring for younger artists, because you know, you're an example are at not limiting you at one thing, which is great. You know, I've been a fan of, you know, Faith No More since I'm 12. That band opened up my mind so wide, because they were exactly that. They were a lot of things at once. They were not, you know, only one style, which some bands are good at. It's awesome. But, you know, I'm more attracted to people that are, you know, the sum of their parts. They are, you know, different things, like you. So it's awesome. I really, really excited about that. But that podcast is also about horror. You mentioned a few movies already. So what was the very first horror thing? Could be a book, could be a movie. The first thing horrific or scary that you that just did that for you, when you were too young to see it?
Well, I think my parents, you know, they work all week, so Friday was their night up at the little club pub, you know, literally 5 minutes away. So the babysitters, of course, let me stay up later than they should have done, you know.
Nice.
And at that time, it was on. It was a Friday night horror movie. It would be probably more like the Hammer Horror, you know, the Reptile or any of the Dracula movies, the Frankenstein movies. And I think, you know, of course, at that age, I mean, I was probably, I don't know, I was pretty young, I was like six or seven. So, you know, it's all that stuff like the Gorgon, you know, it's pretty scary for you, you know. And you, what I loved about Hammer Horror, as you watch them, of course, later, as you realize that they're done on such a budget, film back to back. So, and then, because you started noticing the same kind of scene. Locations. I love that. I love that. The same graveyard, Plague of the Zombies. Plague of the Zombies was probably the one that really scared the crap out of me, I think.
Oh, yeah. You had nightmares?
That was a scary one. And then I think, you know, then on Saturday, the best time was towards run about now, where, funny enough, on the internet, I found a list of the BBC double horror specials that they used to show every summer. Maybe the Universal monster movies, you know, things like that. And then the Edgar Allan Poe, Vincent Price ones, you know, all those.
Gorman.
Which were, like, amazing, you know, for me. I love them. They get the odd duff one, maybe, but Zoltan, Hand of Dracula would kick in there, and I was like, well, that's okay. But, you know, I was looking, hoping for something else. So that would build up, and then, you know, I love the themes and all that. But I think, I mean, Halloween, I didn't see Halloween until on the TV. I'm not sure why that was. But I remember that scaring the hell out of me.
You know, and the music and the acting and everything was so new at the time.
It was, and the fact that Michael Myers is completely relentless, you know, it's non-stop. Yeah. And I was like, that's a scary one. And I think, which I think the guy with the X-Files touched on a lot, you know, the Kolchak Night Stalker series was definitely a great one. Night Stalker, you know, I remember I went to bed and my mom put me in, said goodnight to me. And knelt close to me and then went to bite my neck like that. And I was like, being traumatized all night. I was like, nightmares. I'm like, good God, Mom, what are you trying to do to me? I'm already scared to death. And it's just like, Jesus, you know, that's really got it. But I've always loved the horror movies. In fact, I've got this little beauty here, which you can probably see.
Oh, nice. That's a Fuchi one, yeah? The house by the cemetery. Yeah.
Dr. Freud's thing there. And I had to have him. For sure, you know, and inevitably through the VHS days, you get into the Italian horror and stuff. But yeah,
so do you still collect physical media like special edition reissues of those favorite movies of yours, or
occasionally? I think I'm starting to veer back into that again. Definitely abstinence for a while, but lately I went down to see a friend of mine a few weeks back. He's actually helping me with press on the book, and he showed me like a pop up. It was a vinyl, actually. It was a red vinyl, I think, of Witchfinder General pop up Vincent Price. So of course I went in and had to get that.
A pop up. Oh wow, that's a great idea.
My sort of wife looks at me like, oh dear, you know,
because you're a toy collector, statues and stuff, and you're. Even what a cool, you know, era we live in, because we can buy toys from our favorite bands, and sometimes you even get a toy yourself. Can you tell the story to the people that don't know Gargamel ones?
Well, one of my good friends, Dennis Haman, who he does vinyl figures in Japan. He's been living in Japan forever, actually. But I met him through my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time. But he had some friends at Super 8 and all those guys, or Super 7, whatever it is, and then brains. And then, but he was telling me, well, we always talked about it, kind of, you know, would you be into doing something? And I thought, well, yeah, sure, I'd like to try if it's possible. And he had a few people in the States who were into it at the time, and created the mold kind of based on one of his kind of designs because it was trying to they're quite expensive to make, you know, the actual mold. So we kind of kept the body kind of similar, but the head with the hair.
And the hair. Yeah, exactly.
That was the addition there. And then I think there's three or four different versions of them that came out eventually. But it was through my friend Dennis that it happened. It was a cool little novel, weird thing to do, you know. And
definitely, especially for a toy collector like you to be immortalized into vinyl. It's pretty cool.
So that was one of those little things, you know, you never really think about or expect. And lo and behold, it happened. So that's, I think that's kind of what I find interesting for now is after all these years, these things have happened and I'm quite lucky and fortunate, really. So, yeah, you know.
So that is kind of a horror thing as well that connects into your life. In the horror cinema, there's so many great directors. Do you have favorite directors that you still follow, you know, the career that are still active today, but you need to see the new, you know, Cronenberg movie or...
Actually, I haven't seen the new Cronenberg movie, and I really want to. I know his son is making some interesting...
Definitely. I saw Possessor from Brandon Cronenberg. It's amazing. I think it's still on Netflix. I heard good things about Infinity Pool, latest one with Mia Goth, the girl from Pearl. But Cronenberg, Crimes of the Future, I saw it when it came out here in Quebec last year. And it's good old Cronenberg going back into the body horror, you know, rabbit hole with his new muse, Viggo Mortensen. And it's awesome. I loved it. The special effects are great. The commentary is awesome. You know, the question that he asked the audience without even answering any makes you think, you know, he's like that. He asks questions and you extrapolate with your own mind. So it's really, to me, this movie, reflection on what it is to be an artist, the overall team. Yeah, and you should see it as soon as you can. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's one. It's like what I find, more so lately, is there is so much that comes out and you'll see it. And if you don't make a note of it, you know.
I know.
2 days later, you know, what was that thing I was doing? And you circle back around to it, but you're like, my God, that's been... And then before you know it, it's been out for like 12 months or 18 months. And you're like, how did that happen? How did time go by?
Bah, so it's never too late, anyways, to discover a, you know, old classic that you haven't seen. So it's so cool to be able to see movies with fresh eyes, because I think we're growing up, getting older, we're attracted by our classics, the one that we keep going back always, you know, but to keep an open mind, to see different stuff and, you know, to talk about movies with, you know, like-minded people. They ask you, have you seen that movie from, 1973? No. Okay. I should see, you know, The House with Laughing Windows, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think we're almost out of time. So I usually end the interviews by asking my guests, what would be your top five or top three of, you know, absolute best, island horror movie?
Very tough one.
I know.
I think I always, for some reason, very, 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 I always lean towards the Beyond for some reason.
Oh, The Beyond. Lucio Fulci.
For some reason, I think just the gore factor, but the atmosphere. Something about some of Lucio Fulci's horror movies, not just because probably they were kind of overdubbed, I suppose, for here, but there was just something about them. I don't know. There's
my absolute favorite of his. I think it's his most beautiful and it's his most subtle, even though there's shocking scenes as well. But he was capable of doing, you know, some pretty awful movies, let's be honest. But you know, that's, to me, is masterpiece. The soundtrack by Fabio Frizzi, it's awesome.
Yes, I've been looking at vinyl. There's a new vinyl reissue of that one, actually. I think you've either remastered or some extra.
That's
extra.
Possible.
I do like the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Oh yeah, Zack Snyder's. Yeah, that was pretty pretty cool. A nice update with the running zombies. The tension was there. It was good.
Oh, I think that, and I mean, it's a really tough one you put on the spot. But I mean, 30 Days of Night, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Were you a fan of the comic first, or?
I didn't know much about the comic, but I just it was to me refreshing in some ways. Even though probably if I'd known the comic, it wouldn't have been as refreshing. But the fact that there was no sort of romanticizing vampires in this one, it was just like, you know, full on,
scary.
The setting, you know, you can just imagine being stranded in a place where it's dark for 30
all
days.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. You're well and truly screwed, pretty much, you know. So, but that's it's very hard to pick three, but
I know.
I mean, my family's on vacation at the moment, so I'm enjoying hanging out with my cats, watching some binge watching some movies, which I'm going to get back to this evening probably and carry on. And
what's the plan right now for tonight?
I've just been making some strange music. Then I'm going to finish up, go back home from here. This is the Napalm Band House, I guess. And then I'm going to finish watching Midnight Mass. I haven't watched the last Halloween yet, so I might check that out and see what's up with that.
So what did you thought of the middle one? You know, Halloween Kills.
It was okay. I think it was okay.
You're generous.
yeah, I mean, you know, it's they kind of, you know, it's yeah. I don't know. It's I might veer towards something else now. Now I'm thinking about it. Actually, tonight I might see what else is. What was that one thing you meant? You mentioned something to me just now. What was it? The first. What was it? The Punisher. Was it? What was it? The
Cronenberg's.
Cronenberg one.
Crimes of the Future.
Was that one or the other one? His son's.
His son. I saw Possessor. His first one was Antiviral, which I thought it was kind of okay, but to me was too much like his father's.
Yeah.
It was like he was trying to do a Cronenberg because he's allowed to movie. But it had some moments. It was beautifully shot, Antiviral, but Possessor, it was his own beast. It was unlike anything, and it's so creepy, and it works. I saw it really late at night, all by myself, and I was creeped out. And it doesn't happen, you know, often nowadays. If it comes out, I guess it comes out in theater, also in the UK. Talk to Me, that new movie. Have you heard about it?
Oh, I think I went to see Evil Dead Rise a while ago, and that was okay. But I think there was a Talk to Me. Yeah, that was and that looked pretty freaky.
Yeah. It is. It's like under the cover of a kind of a witchy board kind of a movie. It's really well made, and you know the performances are really, really strong. So it's really believable what happens. With even though it's crazy, but it's really intense, really kind of touching, and the violence, and it's so gnarly, and it's in your face. It's pretty intense. I was amazed because it showed there was a screening in Montreal at the Fantasia Film Festival, which if you can fly here and come for a few weeks in the summer, that's the best festival, genre festival in the world to me, Fantasia, and they got tons of Asian movies, you know, from Thailand, from Korea, Hong Kong, lots of Asian films of all styles, and a lot of horror. Sci-fi is pretty insane. And those the directors, which are Australians, the Philippous of Talk to Me, that's their first film. It's pretty impressive. So you have to note that on your list. Talk to Me, it's pretty, pretty good. Have you seen Barbarian on I think it's on Disney or something like that?
No.
That's one of the newest film that I quite enjoyed. There's a, Barbarian.
Oh, I think I haven't seen it, but again, it's one of those. Yeah, I've come across it and I go, right, must remember. I'm gonna have to give send me a list. I'm afraid.
Of course, no problem.
I've got a few weeks of
you time.
Yeah, because once the family's back, forget it. It's all done.
Of course. Oh, man. That was awesome to chatting again about, our favorite things. So I'm looking forward to the book. And so we'll keep in touch. And next time you're in Montreal, we're going to hook up.
For sure, mate. Yeah, you take care, man. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.